Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. Nevada's Secretary of State, Cisco Aguilar, here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers. Big R and Sparks is located on Bering Boulevard next to Smith's and across from Reed High School. It's a 50,000-square-foot hardware store and a whole lot more. It's your spring headquarters with lawn and garden supplies, power equipment, and outdoor living. Big R on Bering Boulevard and Sparks next to Smith's and across from Reed High School. Big R, hardware and a whole lot more.
Carson Valley Inn, it's your place for the good times. Carson Valley Inn.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room at the Bank Saloon. Coverage of the 2023 legislative session is brought to you by Liberty Dental Plan, making members shine one smile at a time. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. The Regional Transportation Commission of Washoe County, your RTC, our community. NV Energy, proudly serving Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers. And by Nevada Builders Alliance, building a better Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're absolutely delighted to welcome back to the program Cisco Aguilar. He is the Nevada Secretary of State. Pleasure to have you back. Sorry it took so long.
No problem. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Thank you. Let's start out with the legislature. What were your legislative goals and which ones have you achieved? I know you did sign a bill here with the governor.
Yeah, you know, it's going back to understanding that our elections work because of people. And the Secretary of State's office functions because of the people that's in them. And there's a couple issues there. One is making sure the election team feels safe and they want to do the job they need to do. Our democracy only works if we have the human component, making sure they function. Everything from the administrative work behind the scenes to the actual day of voting and having poll workers on site. You know, there's been a sense of fear. If you look at 10 of our 17 county clerks across the state are new to elections because their predecessors were fearful and tired of what was happening. Yesterday, we signed a bill with the governor, and the governor supported that bill all the way through. We worked with legislative leadership. I'm grateful to the speaker. I'm grateful to the majority leader to get this bill through. I think it was a message that needed to be sent by having a unanimous vote in both houses for this bill to make it a felony to harass or intimidate election workers and volunteers.
It's really stunning that we would have to do something like this. Are you overreaching beyond what local sheriffs and police departments are tasked with doing? Or
no, I don't think so. When we started this initiative, we went out and reached out to everybody that would be involved in this process. And we said, we're thinking about this concept. We're thinking about this idea. And everybody responded positively. And then when we actually got the bill language drafted, we met with everybody again a couple times to make sure everybody understood what we were trying to accomplish. And then the fact that Metro came to the table and testified in favor of the bill was really, really a strong message for us. And also, too, a couple weeks ago, we had a really low point in the office. You know, some of our team was harassed by an individual. He was pretty aggressive. He was pretty threatening, not only to them, but to their families and children. The thing he said about their children was really upsetting. And they went to trial. Not only did they have to live that experience in real life, they had to go back and participate in the court process. And to relive that trauma on the stand was really a hard point for them. And then a couple days later to have a not guilty verdict come out on the individual because the law was unclear. Had we had the law that was signed yesterday in place, this individual would not be a free man.
You know, the thing that's scary is beyond the paid positions, so many volunteers man the polls, and they're retirees. And I know my wife and I were very concerned when we went to vote in the last election to ask them, you know, how things were going, what had been going on at their particular polling place. And we were relieved to know that there had not been problems there. But obviously there was concern all across the state. So hopefully, you know, this takes care of this portion of it. Did you have a lot of conversations with the previous Secretary Sagaski about what she went through? Because I talked to her at an event, I guess right after the election, and I asked her if she'd be willing to come on the program and talk about what had happened. And she talked privately, she was not willing to come on the program, but she talked privately about death threats and all kinds of things that she and her family have been through. Have you been through anything like that?
Thankfully, not at this point. But look, it's part of the job, it's part of the understanding. I go back to my experience as chair of the Athletic Commission. We made some pretty hard decisions on that commission, and some of the feedback was pretty significant and pretty severe. So knowing and understanding the mindset you have to have in this position is that you're here to serve all Nevadans, and you have to do what's in the best interest of the state. And if you're gonna make those decisions, sometimes there's gonna be the blowback. And it's making sure that you're doing things with the understanding that there are certain decisions are going to have some hard consequences.
Historically speaking, you know, have there been these kind of issues in the past, at least in the recent past?
I mean, since 2020, this has been an issue, right? And I think it's because one individual was a candidate for office and kind of forced it and made it a reality. But I don't think it occurs in every county. I don't think it occurs in every situation. You go out to Elko County, we've traveled the state significantly to meet with county clerks and understand what their position is on certain issues, but also understanding I'm here to support them. The 17 county clerks and registers do the real hard work.
Right.
I'm here to be a supporter and drive whatever I need to do to get them to be comfortable in the job that they're doing.
What did you think about the Fox News settlement with Dominion?
That's a fascinating look. Again, it shows you how the judicial system works. It's there to be an arbitrator of the truth. And I think we're finally seeing some of that come to light.
But I mean, the story behind the story, I mean, they made a settlement. I mean, it did not go through a jury trial.
But the process forced the settlement.
Absolutely.
Right?
But I mean, you know, the process of discovery was astonishing in what was revealed. And what does that tell you about the state of broadcast networks? Because this is a situation with one news network, and I put that in quotes to the extent that a lot of these networks, some of the programming is news, but a lot of that program, especially at night, is really entertainment, in quotes. And people don't really understand that. They buy into this.
And that's, I think we have to educate people about the media, right? Is understanding, you have to understand both sides of the story. You have to be selective about where you get your information, and then question that information that you're receiving, and be able to do that. It goes back to, you know, when we were grade school, junior high, writing papers, it was the difference between primary sources and secondary sources. Is where are we getting our information to be a primary source? And the responsibility of the Secretary of State's office is to be that primary source. And that's why we have a significant ask before the legislature to invest in our election infrastructure. One, to make our elections even more secure, but to have real-time data to be able to deliver the information we need to deliver to the voter.
You know, we've got a poll on Nevada Newsmakers' website. It's at the top of the homepage if people want to go check it out. And it said, you know, do you trust the news source that you watch?
Interesting.
And people had no confidence in the news source they watched. Do you think that the news sources you don't watch are biased? And the answer was yes. I mean, that's astonishing that not only do you not believe what you're watching, but you think that what you're not watching is even worse. How did we get here?
I think, Sam, it's the transition of media, right? We're going from traditional broadcast. You know, generations ago, we went from print to broadcast and from print into, you know, this world of social media. But then we're also going into streaming. So we're in a transition in a lot of this industry, and we're going to have to figure out how to become newsworthy in a way that's direct, honest, and actually correct.
Your office has to launch a marketing campaign to be able to let people know that their votes are secure, that the previous election was real and it was fine, and that going forward we're fine.
And it's also to allowing people to control that information flow. And that's why we've asked the legislature, and the governor put it in his recommended budget, was the Voter Registration Election Management System, VREMS, which will allow voters to see their ballot tracked in real time. It also allow them to manage their own portal, allow them to update their addresses. It also allows us to take advantage of the great technology that the United States Postal Service has. You know, whenever you fill out a change of address form, that change of address will immediately come to our office to allow us to update the voter rolls so that we make sure that the ballot is intended to get to the accurate voter.
Chuck Muth and his organization are trying to do
it.
And that's to clean up the rolls. Are you comfortable with that program?
Look, anything we can do to drive transparency to the voter rolls or to determine a process that will allow us to have the best voter rolls in the country, I'm all for.
Well, that obviously that's good to hear. This next cycle, I mean, it's stunning that we're 3 years out and it's already here.
Yes.
You know, as far as the constitutional offices, but we have another huge election coming up next year.
We actually have three elections in 24. We have the presidential primary in February. We have the Nevada primary in June, and then we have the general election in November. So it's going to be a significant effort and lift for the 17 county clerks and registrars and even for our office.
What about Nye County? You know, at one point they wanted to get rid of the voting machines altogether. Mm-hmm. Where are we with that situation?
Look, we're building a relationship with Nye County, and that relationship takes time. We are getting there. I'm comfortable where they're going as far as the election is concerned. They just had a special election last week for Beatty in the Water District. And we worked well with them, and we were able to compromise on a few issues and help them in a few issues. But this is a constant opportunity to build trust with somebody in a very tough county.
Are they going to eventually end up using all voting machines?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it may come down to some of the bills that are in the legislature now, but we do understand their position, and we're trying to figure out where there's a middle ground. Look, I think politics, sometimes you've got to give a little to get some.
Well, that is the whole goal, right?
I think it's understanding what the goal of Nye County is, what their concerns are, and then figuring out where that middle ground is.
Well, they figured that the machines were fraudulent, that they were flipping votes to something else. And
yeah, but
we know that that's not the reality.
That is correct, and I think they're realizing that as well. And I think the opportunity and understanding what they went through the last election cycle and trying to use paper ballots in Hank County, there is a more efficient and accurate way to do it than what they propose, and I think there's an opportunity to work there together on it.
What about getting the results by election night?
That's my favorite talking point.
I'm sure it is. You know, it just seems that if we could move up the dates on some of these ballot issues, that we could at least that night or by the next morning, midday, that we would have the
I think
the
that's the wrong conversation.
Okay.
I think there's a conversation to have before
I've never been accused of that before.
So,
no, I'm kidding.
No. You know, it's looking at, and that's the thing is, the VREMS, the Voter Registration and Election Management System, would allow us to have data and to sign into a portal, look at that data and say, okay, how many ballots were on hand on election night in Clark County? How many ballots were on hand in Washoe election night? We had to gather this information manually and then put it together and tabulate it ourselves. But from our calculations, from the information we have from the local counties, is Clark County had 94% of its ballots on hand election night. Washoe County had 97% of its ballots on hand election night. It wasn't because the ballots weren't there. It was the fact that they didn't have the capacity to count all the ballots they had. And so we really need to work on that operational capacity question before we start talking about other policy decisions. And that's the thing again. We're kind of behind in the Secretary of State's office on the ability to have real-time data. We're making decisions off of anecdotal information that we're hearing, and we're not actually making decisions off of the data, nor is the data available at the moment you need it to make that decision.
Okay.
And that has to change.
Okay, so we're May 31st as we're taping this
yes.
morning. You've only got five more days. Do you think you can get more done in this session?
We have some pretty significant bills out there. And the election bills that we have introduced are bills that started with the previous administration and the previous secretary. They are more operational than they are policy. And those operational issues have great impact on our 17 counties. You know, Clark has a budget and Washoe has a pretty significant budget to buy their way out of some of these issues. But the other 15 counties need some of these bills to pass to be able to operate in a way that's efficient for them, given the constraints that they have from a fiscal standpoint.
Okay, and going back to my previous point, which is, don't you need to do a marketing campaign, whether it comes out of your office or the state, to be able to tell people that your vote counts and that you need to, because, you know, what's kind of crazy to me is in politics, you know, if one side pushes to do one thing and the other side says, no, we don't want to do that, well, eventually power changes and the other side's in power.
Right.
You look at, you know, the filibuster. And, you know, Harry Reid didn't care that he got rid of the filibuster for all the judges except the Supreme Court. Mitch McConnell warned him that it was going to come back to bite him, and boy, it sure did.
Unintended consequences are, and that's the thing, you talk about a marketing campaign. The Secretary of State's office has to be strategic in the information it's giving. But in order to do that, we need to make sure we have the data to do it. And that's why we're so excited about the VRAMS process. This has to change from us being reactive to being strategic. Right now, we're operating in a reactive standpoint, and we have to change that narrative and be able to put the information out there first and let the dialogue happen after the information is in.
Is Nye County the only problem child that you have?
I wouldn't call Nye County a problem child.
I know, I did.
Look, it's there's a lot of issues and a lot of challenge. We're a very diverse state, from both an urban core to a rural communities to workforce diversity to ethnic and cultural diversity. And so each county has its own challenges, and we're trying to learn those. We speak with the county clerks every other week to talk about challenges or issues, but also to prepare them for the upcoming 24 election. All we can do at this point is prepare, plan.
When we spoke before, we talked about ID for voting, and you talked about it as a constitutional issue. Have you changed your mind at all about
that? No, I think you go back to the base. Look, I'm a lawyer. You know, it's my responsibility to uphold the Constitution, understanding the fundamental right. And when you start to tinker with the fundamental right, there better be a very good reason to tinker with it. And that fundamental right to vote is pretty secure. It's one of the greatest things that gives every American the opportunity to have a voice. Right now in Nevada, I think it's a solution to a problem that doesn't exist.
All right, let's take a break. More with the Secretary of State of the great state of Nevada after this timeout.
Located in the heart of Carson City, the Bank Saloon is a historic watering hole with a modern feel. With a variety of classic cocktails featuring Nevada spirits, space for private events, conferences, and an incredible atmosphere, the Bank Saloon offers a great location to work and play. Come visit us. Located at the corner of 5th and Carson, we'll save you a drink.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. Tollsdevelopment.com.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with the Nevada Secretary of State, Cisco Aguilar. Popular vote versus Electoral College.
That's a conversation for the legislature right now. I don't, you know, whatever the legislature determines the priority is, we will implement.
I understand that, but from a bigger perspective, it seems to me that the whole idea of the Electoral College was to protect states like Nevada. that if you don't have the Electoral College, then the big states with the big populations are the ones that are going to determine all the elections. And no presidential candidates are ever going to come to Nevada again. All the TV stations are going to go bankrupt because they don't have all that political money coming in. It just doesn't make sense to me. And I've had this discussion with Senator Harris here on the program, and we vehemently disagree on this, politely but vehemently. It just seems to me that Nevada would be the loser in this.
I think it's a fair conversation given what we've seen in the last presidential elections. And to have that conversation and test what was determined, a couple hundred years ago, is still valid and accurate for states. The conversation is good, it's strong. You know, for me to have an opinion, I don't think is appropriate this time, because that's a decision the legislature has to make.
All right, I'll let you off the hook there. All right, let's go to a politics one.
All right.
Your opponent in the race for Secretary of State was Jim Marchant. He's now running against Jackie Rosen for the United States Senate. Your thoughts on that?
I think he has to get out of a very tough primary. I think, you know, the Republicans want an opportunity to have a strong candidate. And we'll see what happens from there.
But who's going to be the strong candidate that goes up against him?
We'll see.
To be revealed, right?
Right. It's determined, right? It's looking at what occurred in 2022 election and what's going to happen going forward.
It just seems that for both parties, there are weaker benches than either party should really have. Well, is that part of term limits that you know, we lost the leadership that brought people in and trained them?
Right. I moved to Nevada under the Raggio leadership of the legislature, and seeing him function and maneuver the way he maneuvered on behalf of Northern Nevada was pretty impressive.
Even when the power had already shifted to Southern Nevada.
That is correct. And I remember walking in those halls with Jim Rogers when he was chancellor and understanding the dynamics of the North and the South. But I think you're looking at today, and the legislature has a much younger vision, and I think it actually represents Nevada to a truer point. And the conversations we're having, I think, are more relevant to the issues we're facing as a state.
I think from a diversity point of view, you're 100% correct. And from a generational point of view, we look at...
And look, we're proving, you know, when you put women in charge, I think things get done. And I think you're seeing that. And I think Majority Leader Nicole Cannizzaro has done a phenomenal job in running her house, and I'm excited to see what comes forward.
And giving birth during the session.
That is
and coming right back.
But it also proves the point that, look, we need to make sure that we are representative of our state, and the fact that we look the way we do in our legislature is very impressive.
I've got no argument with you on that. Let's take another break and we'll be right back.
For 50 years, Nevada Heating has been keeping people comfortable in their homes. At Nevada Heating, call the Do It Right guys and get the air conditioning back on today. That's the Nevada Heating way. Why sweat for days on end when Nevada Heating can get your air conditioning fixed today? Call us today and we'll fix it today at 323-5585 or schedule us on our website at nevadaheating.com.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Hi, I'm Renee Summerauer, digital news anchor here at 7 at 7. Watch our streaming nonstop newscast immediately with your mobile phone. 7 at 7 is the new way for you to get every bit of local news you need in just 7 minutes. Breaking news, local neighborhood news, weather, and sports are just a click away. Reporters bring you all of what's happening in the Valley. From Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, YouTube, and more. Get every bit of local news you need from the RJ and LVRJ.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Cisco Aguilar. He is the Nevada Secretary of State. So you were also the chair for 8 years of the Nevada Athletic Commission under both Jim Gibbons and Brian Sandoval, which is kind of interesting to say the least. So, you know, you ruled over mixed martial
arts. I was chair for 2 years. I was on the commission for 8 years.
Okay, sorry. I was promoting you there.
Thank you.
You could have gone back and gotten extra money. you ruled over mixed martial arts and boxing. My question to you is, what about slapping, this new, I don't even want to call it a sport. It seems crazy.
Look, UFC was crazy to people's minds when it first came.
Well, until the Fertittas cleaned it up.
That is correct. And I think slapping is an interesting, and I have to agree with Chair Marnell on this issue. When he made the comment, when they took that vote, it was, it's not me to determine whether the market is going to accept this. It's whether or not we can put the regulations and can regulate this sport in a way that keeps the fighters' health and safety as the number one priority. And I think you will start to see whether or not the market will accept it. If the market doesn't, then it fails on its own. But at least the commission understands its responsibility that their primary job is the health and safety of every fighter.
Absolutely. And I have nothing but great respect for Anthony Marnell. He's been on the show many times. But I also go back to my recent trip to Italy, where I went to the Colosseum in Rome. And man, slapping, it just...
Look, it is a test of the conscience. I agree with you. And to be able to, will I be a fan? I'm going to be an Ace fan before I'll be a slapping fan.
That's where we have to leave it. Thank you so much for doing this. Please come back again soon. There is so much about your history I would like to talk about in addition to your current job. So it's always a pleasure to have
you
on.
Thank you, Sam. Appreciate it.
And we'll be right back.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real, it's growing, and it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way. Through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room at the Bank Saloon. Coverage of the 2023 legislative session is brought to you by Liberty Dental Plan, making members shine one smile at a time. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. The Regional Transportation Commission of Washoe County, your RTC, our community. NV Energy, proudly serving Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers. And by Nevada Builders Alliance, building a better Nevada.
Thanks to the Bank Saloon in Carson City and the Builders Alliance for their help with our coverage of the 2023 legislative session. We'll see you on the next broadcast.